Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home services marketplace, and they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie's helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. My latest project, tree trimming for our phone lines into the radio show. I mean, any home improvement you need, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects both nationally and in your area. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. The app and the website is free to use.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Oh, yeah. Happy, happy hour. Linoleum Knife Guys are back.
That's right.
It's Alonzo and Dave.
Woo.
We have it. Well, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, I think it was the last administration.
Yeah.
It was.
It was. Before the shit show.
We had a glint in our eyes.
And since you are the famous movie guys, let's just start by saying. Yes.
Pretty much.
The answer today, except for Sean, is yes. Okay. Alonzo and Dave are married.
Yep.
They do a fantastic podcast about movies called Linoleum Knife. But I just remember, Dave, last time you were here, hang on, let's just wait to inflict it on people.
I remember nothing.
This is Sam Elliott, who has eaten a gravel driveway. Go ahead, Dave. Say something.
No, I remember nothing, so I'm glad that you do. The last time we were here.
You still get letters on your show saying, we found you through Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast.
It's true. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
The ripple effect has been astonishing.
Okay. Very much.
I withdraw the Sam Elliott ate a gravel driveway. You do sound like a cartoon dog.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's I did not invent that. Listeners decided that was a funny thing to tell me.
The Velvet Lawnmower is the other one.
Here. Yeah. Fellow film critic William Bibbiani decided that was his name for me.
Okay.
I just went out. They got here early. I went out to take a hike, and I was like, it was like a lumberjack convention. Just fucking just landed in my neighborhood.
Yeah. I just accept anything that anybody says to me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
So Dave White, Alonzo Duraldi are a married couple.
Yep.
And a film critic. I have to ask you. Because you're right, this was before. Everybody says Idiocracy. What is the film that sums up what the fuck we're going through?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, The Manchurian Candidate certainly has some buttons here.
Children of Men, soon enough.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, did you guys watch Years and Years on HBO? Yes.
We need to redo that. Is everyone a pedophile?
Yes, Years and Years, absolutely.
Years and Years is like the show that... It just finished on Monday. It aired in the UK a couple months ago, and now here on HBO. HBO has buried it in some weird way. Like,
yeah, they're not promoting it at all.
It's like on Sunday nights. Night on Monday. Like, I think they thought no one is going to be entertained by this show, even though it is absolutely bizarrely entertaining.
Yeah.
In that you can't wait to see what happens next.
Right.
If only to confirm your most horrified fears about the future.
Yeah, the show isn't telling you that the world's going to get any better. It's just telling you how it's going to end.
Yeah.
Basically.
No, everybody, Travis is like, oh, watch Handmaid's Tale. Like, I'm for entertainment? Fuck no.
Hey, at least the Handmaid's Tale has, like, an active revolution going on.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it's more uplifting than House of Cards, where you're just like, okay, well, this is how politics works, and we're all fucked.
Did you see House of Cards just said, oh, fuck it, we're out, man. We can't can't write evil like this.
Exactly. It's like, it's on another channel. I'm already seeing this. I don't need the fiction version.
Yeah.
Right.
I keep hoping for that. I'm a Rob Reiner, freak, but I keep hoping for the Code Red, that we're going to get because for Russia, right?
Mm.
Did you order the Code Red, that he's just going to She's just going to shout it at some
point. Did you order the code red?
Yeah.
I did the job.
Did you order the code red?
You're damn right I did.
I don't think that's going to happen.
So we need her, a few good men, right?
Mm.
Yeah. Well,
I can't handle the truth. I don't know.
No.
I've been handling the truth for a while now, and it's not any fun.
I keep trying to find the movie analogy for the nightmarish movie, right? It's just like, I don't know, something, contact, wormhole in the universe, something.
What?
Well, actually, that
I'm going down my Jodie Foster.
The second G.I. Joe movie, where it turns out the president was secretly a member of Cobra all along.
That one really hits home now. Oh, if you didn't see Contact, it's mostly like an hour of Jodie Foster just going, shh, everybody listen. I hear something. That's it.
It's daddy issues at the end.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Shh, I'm having daddy issues.
Is that your Jodie Foster impression?
Yes. Dr. Lecter.
Jinx.
Tell the lambs to stop screaming. I can't hear my daddy.
This is two films into one. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Call that a mashup.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Just for you. What I mean, but seriously, what else? It's hard to like kind of...
Well, there's a film currently in release.
Oh?
Yes.
Which one?
It's from Argentina.
Okay.
It's called Rojo.
Okay. Which means red.
Red. And it's about 1975 in Argentina.
Okay.
Just before the fascists really take over and start disappearing everybody.
Oh.
And it's this very quiet movie about middle-class people doing nothing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And seeing what they can do to get through, to skate through it.
Yeah. Well, George Orwell,
it's
too.
It's chilling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's playing in art house theaters right now.
Yeah.
So I recommend that highly because that's, if you want a movie about what's happening right now, you know, well, there are a lot of people in the country who still aren't incredibly affected by this unless they're paying attention.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they will be.
But yeah. I mean, it is, it's at the level of lying of do not believe what you can see and hear with your eyes.
Yes. Right.
I mean,
You know, Cabaret, of course, also a good fallback.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're definitely, there's a Weimar feel for this.
Indeed,
you know,
what good is sitting alone in your room?
There's a lot of Tomorrow Belongs to Me going on here. It is that and years, a lot of these things, it's this thing where we think of these moments in history as being like sudden and everybody notices and what do? And they just sort of creep up on you and we just sort of keep adjusting to them. And it's the new normal keeps moving down the graph, you know? And it's that thing, it's like, we're so horrified by the last four racist tweets that we're forgetting about the kids in the cages and Jeffrey Epstein. It's like our brains can't keep it all spinning.
Well,
that's
someone else, one of our legal people said that, you know, it's not like there's one grounds for impeachment. There's so many that it gets, that's part of the plan, is to just overwhelm us and get, you know, to such a degree. I mean, I joke about Idiocracy. I'm like, that whole like chilling send her back rally. You're like, how close are we from the stadium scene in Idiocracy? Like we're throwing undocumented immigrants with lions. Like, I just am like, what is happening?
We haven't elected a pro wrestler / porn star yet, but you know, a reality TV game show host is on the path. You know, it's close.
Right. Oh, I know. Today we just look at you. You've got a baby in a bar. Which Reese Witherspoon movie I'm thinking of? Sweet Home Alabama.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we just did a story about it. You know, I'm going to guess a Trumper.
Look at you.
Yeah.
You have a baby.
It's a white...
In a bar.
Trumper lady. In this case, she left the baby in the car while she did it, went in the bar to do shots.
In Texas.
So then she told the cops, I only did two shots.
Texas or Florida.
Right.
And when they tried to arrest her, she said, I'm not giving my kid to an effing N-word.
Oh, charming.
So, yeah.
There you go. Great.
Yeah.
So that's the Trump version of Sweet Home Alabama.
But Trump is allowing these people to come out of the woodwork.
That's the thing. Yeah. Trump ultimately is just a symptom of a much larger thing.
Yes.
Like he could collapse from a cheeseburger-induced cardiac arrest right now, and we still have decades of work to do to undo.
I know.
Not just the stuff he's done in office, but what he has revealed in the American psyche.
Yeah. Lifted the rock and all the potato bugs and centipedes
totally
are crawling
under. But they were there under the rock all along.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. But they knew their place.
Yeah, they, exactly.
That was very Wizard of Oz.
Yes. Well,
there's a, you were right here all along.
There's an expression at which I because, you know, I lived in the bubble of my own family. I don't know if this is like a Spain expression or just something my parents said. It could go either way.
Uh-huh.
But it's just a phrase that's elocuenta, which literally means, and he says it. And so the idea of like, it's one thing that these people believe this thing, mm-hmm. but then they say it out loud,
right.
You know? And I think America had gotten to a place where you knew not to say it out loud, and now suddenly, whoop,
no,
you know,
I'm
everyone
like,
filters
I'm
off.
Like, yeah, there's a new video every day of someone yelling the N-word, some racial slur at somebody, because I think it's okay now. Yeah. I mean, we have to make racist.
They were always doing
racist
that,
afraid,
but we didn't have the phones to support it.
Yes.
And now we do.
Now we have HD phones.
And and so the combination of the technology we have to rat people out for this behavior and their bold feelings since this election.
Yeah.
It's this bizarre storm.
This sense of vindication.
Yeah. You know?
So if nothing else, I would love it if we could just make people like this be ashamed again.
Yeah, exactly.
Of themselves and
exactly.
Just go
back under the rock and
shame. Public
and,
shaming. Yes. Yeah. It's hold that thought, boys. I need to freshen up. You know, that used to mean powder your nose. What does it mean now?
Well, you just want to be an ingenue so you can be in one of the films that they review.
Yes. Plexiderm. Triplexiderm.com. You've heard all the sexy liberals talking about it because it is magic.
I bet
it
all
does
the stars
not work.
Use this.
It doesn't work in weeks or months or whatever that stuff is. But it's literally like you hear this. You hear it brings a harp into your bathroom. You look in the mirror and you're like, what happened to my crow's feet and my wrinkles?
And you need a quick solution. Like, we don't have a makeup trailer here at the Stephanie Miller Show.
No, I have to do my own, man.
That's right. Plexiderm. Get it done quick.
I'm telling you, the science behind Plexiderm, incredible clinical studies that back it up. If you look older and tired because you know who is, you know what?
Mm-hmm. Sleepless nights.
Because you know who was present.
Yeah.
Okay, crow's feet, wrinkles, under eye bags. You can't check that baggage, but you can try Plexiderm and watch it magically disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there it is again. There's the harp.
Look at you. You're beautiful again.
Thank you. Watch a video with real people. See how fast crow's feet, wrinkles, and under-eye bags disappear. We ain't lying. All the sexy liberals are having slap fights over their Triplexiderm.
Mm-hmm.
I have no one to fight with, so it's all mine. But maybe Triplexiderm will help me find a future wife.
You're going to be able to find someone easy with that Plexiderm.
Yeah. Plexiderm has a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Go to triplexiderm.com. Use the code SEXYLIBERAL for my discount. That's triplexiderm.com. Code SEXYLIBERAL. Or call 1-800-685-1292 and mention Sexy Liberal. And now, back to happy hour. Showtime. Jazz hands. Spirit fingers. By the way, so you were born in Georgia.
Yes.
Youngest of seven children.
Yes, ma'am.
Attended Vanderbilt. Lives in West Hollywood. That's the gayest sentence in a bio I've ever heard. Wait, I'm not done. With his husband.
I attended Anderson Cooper University.
He has a husband.
Anderson U. So what was that like growing up in Georgia?
Dave always likes to say I grew up in the Spanish embassy because, you know, my parents were both immigrants from Spain. So, I mean, you know,
raised Catholic.
Seven children.
Walked away from it. But, I basically say y'all without irony. But, you know, I never developed a taste for sweet tea. I don't know. It is a weird thing where, like, Georgia in the 70s, I think the racism was starting to get pushed under the rock.
Mm-hmm.
It was generally, you know, genteel in conversation, if that makes any sense. We liked Lester Maddox
much. I think that's the largest religious group in the world is ex-Catholics. I'm not kidding.
Oh, totally.
I'm actually not kidding.
We should be a voting bloc.
Yeah. But quite seriously, do you ever think they're going to reclaim Christianity in this country to anything resembling what Christ stood for or talked about?
Well, we were just talking about this the other day with three.
Can you get your beautiful voice closer to the microphone?
Closer to the mic.
Yes, thank you.
I can't get enough gravel soup.
We were talking about this the other day with three very good evangelical men that we know. And I said, what is the problem is in the continuum of contemporary evangelical Christianity, there are the absolute batshit lunatics over here who are openly racist and would love a theocracy.
Sure.
And then there are all the people in the middle who just kind of go to church and are like, I'm voting for family values because I'm not really ready to think about much.
Because Donald Trump.
I'm very busy.
Yeah.
And then you have the Christian left. And those that's a crude division of into three chunks, and there are more than three chunks. But those are basically the three chunks.
Am I exaggerating to say this is the least Christian president we've ever had in terms of...
Not if you ask Michelle Bachmann.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, I saved this because you just posted it to Facebook. Yep. Trump is without a doubt the most biblical president I've ever seen. Oh, we must be in the last days.
Lord, the day is at hand. We are in the last days. You are Jehovah God.
Don't you love she treats God like a dog with a raw hide? Who's God, Jehovah God?
Maybe she means Old Testament.
Yes. You know?
like the reign of frogs.
Within this continuum, all three of these chunks exist.
Mm-hmm.
And until evangelicals realize that the kind of Christians they hate, whichever ones on the spectrum that they don't like, are just as Christian as they are. Christians are just as capable of great good as they are of great evil.
Mm-hmm.
And... If the ones in the middle are like, well, they're not real Christians. Well, no, they are.
Yeah. How do you
and
think
you
that,
have to take responsibility for them.
Right.
How do you think that ex-gang is going for her husband? Marcus.
Marcus Bachmann. Yeah.
How do you think that's coming along?
As somebody on my Facebook pointed out, if he did her highlights, it is, you know, not
fantastic.
Really paying off.
I mean, you can't write this shit, can you? Like a small government Christian conservative woman married to a quite obviously gay man who is using government funds for gay reparative therapy.
For them, it's all about power. It's not about their relationship or anything. It's all about maintaining power.
My favorite was watching newscasters when she was running, when they were like, Michelle Bachmann and her husband.
Right.
Yeah. No.
People trying to stifle. Yeah.
If you put that in a screenplay, you would get notes back. Nah, too much.
Yeah.
Come on.
Clang, clang, clang. Marcus, I'm trying to run for president. Stop it.
I'm from Texas, and Christianity's in the air.
And, you grew up heavily
I grew up heavily evangelical.
Yeah.
And I escaped with my life.
Right.
But this is not about Jesus or anything. It's about their cultural understanding of that, and it's about, as you said, power.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about getting power and making sure your enemies get crushed.
Yeah. I'm not.
And they see that in Donald Trump. Trump is all about maintaining power and winning, and crushing your enemies.
Like, therefore, I'm no longer interested in being kind to any of them.
Right.
I would just like to crush my enemies.
But I have a question because I am. I'm not gussied up, as you know. We just finished the morning show, so I'm in my baseball hat. But generally, I'm a lipstick les. And but something occurs to me with you two. Shelley Wright, who's my friend, who I call her my coming out coach, she said, you know, who's also very feminine. I remember she said to me, that's why it's important for those of us that can hide not to. You guys strike me seriously as the manliest men ever. You look like a good old boy from Georgia and Texas. You look like you live on a ship with men. You know what I'm saying? Men.
We're much cleaner.
Yeah. You look like you arrived on a ship with men. You look like you rode your Blue Ox Babe here. So were you able to hide is what I'm asking when you were growing up?
Yeah. And
I didn't have a beard then, so that was tricky.
Well, Dave, you were in the punk scene.
I grew up punk rock, and so that was very easy way to sort of circumvent ideas of sexuality, because sex was boring and stupid and for hippies, and so you didn't have to think about it.
Agreed.
You just had to think about your own rage and how much you hated Ronald Reagan. And I did early. I want to say right now, I hated Ronald Reagan in the 80s before
it was cool.
It was cool, and now it's going to be real cool to hate him after this joke making the rounds
with Nixon.
Oh yeah, have you heard that?
No, what?
Oh,
it's
Reagan and Nixon had themselves a lovely chat about how the UN was filled with, and I quote, "monkeys from Africa who aren't used to wearing shoes."
America's favorite president.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there's a recording of it that's going around.
Yeah. Yes. Because it's Nixon. So
we'll have that on tomorrow's show.
Well, there I go again. Being a fucking racist.
So you could hide.
Wow. I was a nerd in high school and college, so like sexless was a very easy look to pull off.
You know how I knew you were a nerd? Because you were on Jeopardy. So let me form my next question in the form of a nerd!
But no,
nerd!
I
It's weird because, like, you know, there are people who would totally clock our look as being a specific kind of gay look.
Right. Fair,
but
right?
You're right. Yeah, fair, yeah, sure. Yeah. But there are other places where, yeah, we just sort of like sink into the woodwork because, A, we're not thin. And that's a thing. You know, like the gays, a lot of the gays, not all the gays, but a lot of the gays like to be slender or, you know, to.
Yeah. With the... That's what I love about your, about the,
Lavoie style over here. You
that's
know.
What, well, that's
extremely
what I love about the
at the gym.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, do you even lift, bro? You know that
there is that kind of gay. Yes.
Yes.
That's what sure. I love about your podcast because it's smart and funny and about movies, but there's always some sort of baking or cooking
yes,
involved.
This is true.
And eating.
That's me.
Of some kind.
Well, they also I'm have a spinoff eating. Podcast.
Yes, on our Patreon, we have Linoleum Knife and Fork, which is just food for an hour.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I love it.
Food podcast hosted by two film critics who are completely we're unqualified not qualified to host a food
but
podcast.
But if you go over to their house to guest on their podcast, they will always bake you something.
That's true.
That is lovely.
I had pancakes when I guested on there.
That's that true. Is lovely.
Yeah, I make people food.
Carbs? Ah!
We're from the South. We yes. know how to... Hospitalized.
Right.
Right. You wrote 101 must-see movies for gay men.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, obviously, well-known film critic for the Wrap. What? So I was laughing about the one of the movies is Pee-wee's Big Adventure, which I wouldn't have thought of.
Oh, absolutely.
But I was saying Donald Trump's entire strategy, starting from the campaign, is I know you are, but what am I?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, he's Francis. Let's face it.
I know you are, but what am I?
I mean, as from no puppet, no puppet, you're the puppet. To just today, he's like, what's a
oh, the Washington Post is a tool of
racist? No, I'm not a racist. He's a racist.
You're a tool of Russia. No, the Washington Post is a tool of Russia.
Yeah, yeah. There was that.
Yes, and yes.
He's really waiting. He's got so's your face waiting for like a really important sick burn later. I
but think. You're right. He is Francis.
He's totally Francis. He's like this rich kid who's had everything handed to him mm-hmm. and has no idea how to exist in the world if it's not just being like put in front of him.
Yeah. The other movie everybody talks about is Back to the Future. It's like Biff actually
yes.
does become
Back to the Future. Right, too. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. He's turning America into Pottersville. This is
yes,
what we,
yes.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, and that's another wonderful life. Okay. All right, see, I'm keeping up with you.
There you go. Actually, you know, another Frank Capra movie, Meet John Doe, is about this guy who is a fake person who's created for a newspaper column mm-hmm. becomes like, you know, they find a real person to be him. And he sort of spreads this great progressive message that a corporatist wants to like skew into something that is going to be very pro-corporation. It's like, this is the 1930s and they're totally pegging us.
Yeah,
you know, we never learn anything from history, so we do the same crap yeah. again.
Yeah. Oh my God, it really is. It really is. Well, you're right. Back, we had Leah Thompson on.
Right.
And I was like, I am drunk. What's her name? Her character's name?
Lorraine?
Yes.
Yes, I'm drunk Lorraine. Lorraine. During the entire Trump administration, Biff is president. And so I'm like, America needs to fucking punch Biff in the nose and say, stop raping.
Except you don't have the tits. Right.
My girlfriend, America.
You don't have her tits.
No, I do not.
No.
My point is, but it is, or it's like, It's a Wonderful Life, but like, it's a shitty life. Like, get on yes. it actually ends yeah. up.
It's yeah. not
yeah.
so great.
Pottersville. No. Yeah. That's why I would like someone to say,
in jail.
Yeah. Let's hope we can say that this new year.
Oh, please. No, it is this thing where I feel like we have to relearn all the lessons of the 20th century. Like, fascists are bad. Mm-hmm. Right. Unions are
Nazis
good.
Nazis bad.
Right. You know, everything right. that we right. undid in the last, like, since our Lord Reagan, you know, like, we have to redo everything.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, my dad was a ran with Goldwater, but he's a prosecutor at Nuremberg. I'm like, wait, what? Nazis are very fine, but no.
And Russia? Russia is good? What? Huh?
There's the other movie, Judgment in Nuremberg.
Oh, God. Like... And McConnell. I mean, you know, like I said recently, he looks like a turtle, but he moves fast. He's cramming through so many, like, life appointment judges before they go to recess. It's yeah. terrifying.
That's a legal question that I don't know. I have to ask one of my legal ladies.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we can't. But I wonder if we can undo any of that when you talk about undoing. I'm just like, these are lifetime and they are not only unqualified, they are right-wing hacks. Like, can you do impeachments? I mean,
I say early and often, but far as like what's really going to happen, I'm no longer holding my breath and just thinking about how easy it would be to maybe, I don't know, run to Spain.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt again, but I need to reapply my Plexiderm. I need them to think of me as an ingenue in the movie business.
We don't want to put Vaseline on the lens. We're going to put Plexiderm on your eyes.
It doesn't matter that I'm never going to actually be in a movie. My point is, I couldn't be with Plexiderm. Everybody is raving about this, right?
Yes.
You've heard all the sexy liberals. A couple of them were using it before they even came on and sponsored us.
I wouldn't look at you and think you got up at 4 in the morning.
No.
Because you got Plexiderm.
Yeah, this is getting up at 4 in the morning serum. That's what that is. Crow's feet, wrinkles, under eye bags. See ya. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
Sleepless nights because Trump is president?
Right. Triplexiderm.com. You've got to check it out. Not days or weeks. I'm telling you, in seconds. Stan, it's like literally, where's my bewitched sound? It's like Samantha, I'm bewitched. You put it on and then, what? They disappeared. Oh my God. Uncle Arthur, what are you doing in my shower?
Oh, Sammy.
And why do I look like young Samantha?
You look like Tabitha now. No.
Watch the real life video with real people. See how fast crow's feet, wrinkles, and under eye bags disappear. 30-day satisfaction guarantee with Plexiderm. Do it now. Triplexiderm.com. The code is sexyliberal. For my discount, triplexiderm.com. Type in sexyliberal or call 1-800-685-1292 and mention sexyliberal. And now, back to the show. Okay, now you're talking to Chris LaVoy in my language, one of your must-see movies for gay men, Mommy Dearest. Oh. You said for making Joan Crawford campier than she already was. Do you feel like every tank they're like, oh, we're not going to use all these, but let's just do a bunch that are, you know, wow!
Leave them all in. I have a friend who says that she is giving an operatic performance, you know, like when she says, Christina, Christopher, damn it. You could very easily just put an orchestra behind her and she's giving you full Aida. Oh,
is that what the director was asking her to do, or was she just giving
sometimes it? That's not important. Sometimes,
oh my God, I can see the musical.
Sometimes the film happens in spite of
it.
Tina, bring me the axe.
And then there was the news about her last week.
Oh God.
Getting fired from TF5.
Remember she got fired from Sunset Boulevard? They said Ms. Crawford's singing was substandard.
Or
Ms. Dunaway.
Ms. Dunaway. Ms. Dunaway, sorry.
Yeah.
What did I say?
I feel bad for Faye Dunaway because, like, I mean, clearly she is not maybe the best coworker in the world. But
you think?
It's gotten to a point where you're thinking, like, are you okay?
Not a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Is someone taking care of you?
Right.
Yeah, her system was like, oh, she's probably off her meds.
And so I can't laugh at that.
I know.
You know, that bums me out.
There's not a lot of slapping at your workplace?
Huh. Well, I work at home, so it's just us, you know. When I burn the dinner, you know.
Is he behaving?
I love that she's like no somebody slap. When they tried to adjust her wig.
Oh,
and yeah. She, yeah, you know from touching my extensions.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, don't do it.
Slap the salad right out of my hand.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of salads deserve to be on the floor. let's be real. Who needs it?
Oh, Lord. Okay, so I just love that you have in your bio, he lives in an awesome rent-controlled apartment with his husband.
Yeah. I did not write my own Wikipedia page. So.
You wrote Exile in Guyville.
I did.
Fantastic. What's that about?
In 1999, we moved here, and I did not like it because I was from Texas, and I was very... not ready for the speed and brightness and noise of Los Angeles.
The brightness. You're like a mole.
It's very like so much sun every day on me, and I complained irrationally and acted ridiculously for a couple of years, and I got a book deal out of it.
Hey,
so then I
your whining might also pay off.
I wrote this book. I stole the title from Liz Phair.
Mm-hmm.
She does not mind because she told me so on Twitter.
Nice.
And now it's out of print because my publisher went under. Hooray!
Oh,
wow!
Everybody, go write a book. Yes. You'll get rich and famous as an author.
If you want hours of this voice, you can still get the audio.
Oh yeah, you can get the audio.
What do you think the movies are going to be like about this era in our, I mean, because
animated, I don't know.
Well, the 70s movies were all about paranoia and all. Are we going to get like another spate of movies like that? Or,
well, I don't think anybody's making movies like that. I think, you know, we have to, the best we can hope for is essentially like, how does this get filtered through the Marvel universe? You know, and it has been
a little bit.
Yeah, you look at
we need some more heroes for sure.
Yeah, but you look at Winter Soldier, and that's a very 70s style kind of like government paranoia movie. And I think the trick is to not make hopeless movies, because I think that's what a lot of us are sort of reduced to right now. It's just like this bombardment of, just shit show information and seemingly no one standing up against it. And, you know, you know, we think about, like, the reason that Nixon got impeached was because his own party was like, look, we're not going to stand in the way of this, so you should maybe quit now. Whereas the GOP is just lockstep. And so it's like, well, what do you do with that?
Well, I always call myself the happy clappy liberal, but you remember Rob Reiner was here the other day and he said, I'm hopeful. And I'm like, well, of course you're fucking hopeful, because Jane Khan gets away in misery and there's a happy ending to A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
Write something.
Write the ending to this. Jesus. When is this shit show going to end? Doesn't it feel like this? Doesn't it feel like a bad movie that's too long? You're like, no. This could possibly. What? No. That plot twist can't happen. No.
That's part of what makes Years and Years work, is just because it at least sort of gives you this idea of like, well, here's what the next four chapters are, because you're just dreading what they are.
Yeah.
So you want like a peek. You want to flip to the back of the book and just read the last page and see what's going on.
You're like, no. He would have gotten a stiletto in the eye by now. No.
Surely.
How is this still going on?
Well, like the first season of Handmaid's Tale, there was no hope. No hope at all. That it made me not want to watch season two.
But the thing is, the season one is the book, and then they were on their own.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now it's like they're shuttling people off to Canada. There's
a revolution of brewing.
Yeah, the Marthas, which are like the housemaids, have like this whole network of stuff going on, and it's hopeful. I like the idea that like there's an underground somewhere that's going to try and undo the Trump nightmare. Yeah.
Who's going to play him? Because actors always say that you have to be something redeeming. You know, they have to find something to play someone. There is nothing fucking redeeming about this monster.
I mean, was it Hitler liked cats? Is that what the actors always say? They had to find a thing. I don't know what they got.
Mussolini made the trains run on time.
Exactly. Yeah. Trump likes a taco salad. I don't know. I don't know what the
taco
what's
bowl.
Going to have to be somebody who knows how to avoid leaning into the easy comedy of him.
Right? Yeah.
Because there's absolutely nothing fucking funny about this man.
No.
He's a monster.
Yeah.
And if we, as progressives, get stuck among the ideas that we want to happen for the future and can't come to an agreement about those like right now, and we don't focus most of our energies on just destroying the monster, then we are all going to be fucked.
Yeah. Oh, I thought of the other movie. He is Glenn Close in the bathtub. You're like, oh, thank God this is over.
Yeah.
Ah, fuck me. He's still going. Was he not impeached yet? Or 25th Amendment? Yeah.
That could be 2020 is the coming out of the bathtub.
That's a distinct possibility.
Yeah. Oh, no. I do not diminish that notion in the slightest. I think,
like those ridiculous action movies where you're like, oh, come on. They are not still fucking alive after all that just happened. Give me...
there's a spike in one end and out the other and he's still walking with a gun in his hand.
Come on. So 2020, you guys are Bernie guys, yeah? Still? Or
I am, yes. But I am of the, all right, whoever. I'll vote for whoever.
Any sentient
but
being
I,
in 2020.
Yes, I am still Bernie. I think that he's saying all the right stuff and he has all the right ideas. And, you know, every other candidate, like, there's that plus and minus column, but they'll hit a minus where I'm like, you know, oh, you work for that consulting firm?
Your liberal purity so meter, far. Really?
Because
I will rip that out of you before
Look,
you leave.
Again,
here.
it's the primaries. This is when we get to do this
right.
shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once there's an actual nominee, I'm in, I'm doing it, lawn signs, whatever.
Yeah.
But now is when we get to, like, shoot for the moon, and so I'm shooting for the moon.
I don't care what you guys think. When we have a nominee, you are back in Georgia and Texas, and you are married to a nice lady, and you are fucking her, and you like pussy so much. It is Christmas morning in that pussy every day. That's how excited you are about our candidate.
Right now it's Sanders and Warren tell me the things that I most believe in.
Okay.
Yeah.
The rest of them annoy me to some degree or another. And
I hate everyone, essentially. Every morning we come in.
I just want AOC to be 35.
But that's really exactly. Yeah.
She's
but,
wonderful.
But when after that convention, whoever they pick, whatever like bacon strip they put on the ballot, that's the bacon strip I'm voting
Christmas
for.
Morning pussy. That's what we're labeling this happy hour. This is Dave White and Alonzo Duraldi.
That sounds perfect.
Linoleum Knife podcast is fantastic. Yes. I love it.
And what are all your spinoffs and stuff like that?
Oh, golly. Well, if you go to patreon.com/linoleumknife, you also get LKTV, our television podcast, the aforementioned Linoleum Knife and Fork, and then Linoleum Nights, which is the one show where we actually curse. Y'all have that luxury all the time.
Yeah.
Fucking A.
And we do it live. We do a Facebook Facebook Live thing, so you can actually see our beautiful faces.
Yeah.
And then we also have like a private. You can at certain levels you can ask for a private podcast, like 20 minutes on the topic of your choice. Mm-hmm. And we do club meetings where we watch movies on Netflix. Da da da. I'm also on the Breakfast All Day and Who Shot You podcast.
Yeah, fantastic.
And Linoleum Knife honestly is the first podcast I listen to every week.
Yeah.
So
it really is.
Yeah.
They're lumberjacks. They don't care.
I've been a longtime fan. So
you are. You know that. That's how you. So I found them.
Yep.
And we made him watch Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas, and he did.
Yes,
so,
they sent me to the theater.
Why did you do that again?
Because I had to review it on your show.
Oh, that's right.
They sent me to watch Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas.
I couldn't remember
in the theater.
What movie you talked about when you came on.
Yeah, and Rosewater.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's a Hayes the new intern movie.
Well, you know what? It was an experience because I had never seen an evangelical Christian movie like that before. And
well, frankly, neither had we.
Yeah, there aren't any like that.
Yeah. It was just a poorly
made film.
Even
by those standards, you're like,
Love Actually. Love Actually is my favorite. What's your favorite?
Christmas movie?
Christmas movie? It's still It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, yeah. Can't go wrong.
That's the one where the most socialist ideas are presented as absolutely normal. And
yay, collectivism.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, speaking of people that annoy the fuck out of me.
Stick it to the man
every
Christmas.
Yeah. What's yours?
I like the musical version of Scrooge with Albert Finney from 1970. But again, also very progressive. I make this joke every Christmas. It's like when Republicans watch It's a Wonderful Life and A Christmas Carol, do they not get they're the bad guys?
Right.
Right.
Trump needs to be visited by at least three ghosts.
At least, they're going to be all night.
Yeah.
Oh, your hair is horrible.
And then Candyman.
All right, we bring this discussion back to Christmas morning pussy. That's how you're going to vote.
That's right.
Whoever the Democratic candidate is, they have to get back on their ship with men. So we have to say goodbye. This was fantastic.
Yeah, thanks for coming in again.
Knife.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Linoleum Knife. Look for it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yes, you're faking it. You're a lumberjack and you don't care.
Not in the slightest.
All right, get on your ox and leave. We love you. Happy
thanks,
happy
guys. Year.